He's so faithful. Amen. He can handle it. His shoulders are big enough, trust me. He's not up in heaven worried about your problem. You need to get the revelation of what He's doing, because we're to be imitators of Him. Amen. He's not up in heaven pacing the floor. Oh my God, what am I? Oh my me, what am I going to do? That's what He'd say, right? He would say, oh my God, He is God. He'd say, oh my me, what am I going to do about this? He's like, I got this. I'm God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're blessed tonight. We're going to walk out of here changed, get our help. So, hallelujah. You know, tonight's message before we pray here is going to help us at every level that we're at. And what I mean by that is, for some of us, it will confirm that we're on the right track. And how many of you know it's good to know when you're doing it right? Amen. It's good to know, to get that pat on the back and that encouragement. And some of us, it's going to give us a kick in the pants. You know, the ones that it confirms it are the ones that are doing it. The ones that's going to give a kick in the pants are the ones that aren't doing it. But we're going to get you going to do it, right? Get better. Amen. Get better. Hallelujah. Get better. Praise God. And then for some of us, it'll be brand new revelation. And that doesn't mean we're not doing it or that we are doing it. It means we just don't know it yet. And so it'll help us at all levels. Praise God. So let's pray and believe God for utterance. What a turnout. I'm so proud of this church. Praise God. Father, we love You so much. We're so grateful. Father, people have come out tonight hungry. And Lord, there's no doubt people had busy days and things to go back to and things maybe early start tomorrow and a full day tomorrow. And Father, You don't take this lightly. We're here to hear from heaven, to receive from You. So Father, I thank You that You help us. I thank You that You fill us. We walk out of here satisfied. Lord, we need utterance from heaven. We're not here for man's plans, man's ideas, man's philosophies, opinions, or theories. We need heaven tonight. So, Lord, I thank You as I open my mouth, You'll fill it with words from heaven. I will speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And, Father, I thank You we'll walk out of here changed. We'll go to a new level of glory. Father, You're always offering us help. I pray that everybody would take it through the preaching and teaching and receiving and doing of the Word of God. We thank You for our help tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Well, what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. And you know, at times, maybe the Lord ministered this more for me, but I'll share it with you as well, because as a minister at times, you get tempted to... especially when you preach so much. You know, I preach a lot, you know, sometimes four times a week and to the same people over and over again. You get the temptation in your flesh and in your mind to want to wow people. And you got to be careful of that, because that's... Well, the Holy Ghost said this when I was praying tonight before, because it started to get into my head, because I knew what I was sharing. I mean, I got to go with what the Holy Ghost says to do, and I don't know why I even think about arguing with that, but... He said, your job's to feed, not to impress. And that's the pastor's job. It's to feed people, not to impress them. And so we're going to stick with that. But when it comes to simplicity, I've ministered even further in my office, and it makes sense, because we have to understand that the simple things of the Word are the things that lead to great increase, great change, or simplicity. And God made it simple for a reason. You think about the greatest change and deliverance and victory that you've ever had in your life was the day you got born again. The Bible says you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You literally had your ticket thrown away that was punched for hell, and you got a new ticket for heaven. Your world was changed. You became born again. But think about that process, how simple it was. It wasn't any mind-boggling, earth-shattering thing. It was believe in Jesus and just receive Him. That's it. That's how God made it. But that simplicity led to great increase. And tonight, if people will heed this... I see it so much, you know, with people day to day, because what we're going to talk about today is things we can do daily that lead to a victorious life daily. Amen? God wants us to be victorious daily. God wants us to walk into increase daily. God wants us to be overcomers on a daily basis. But the thing is, well, I'll say it this way, you know, the Bible at times for people can look like a scary thing. Like there's so many pages, it's big, it's thick, and it can seem so unattainable, but what we're going to see tonight are simple things that will change your world. Literally will change your world. I've been a recipient of these things. Many people have been recipients of these things. And you know, somebody, I was having a talk recently with somebody, and they were talking about a minister that they like to listen to. And there's no doubt this minister is accomplished, and this minister has an anointing. But they'd come from a place, and I had to kind of correct their thinking on this, where they said, wow, that person, that almost, they're at such a high level. Now, anointing-wise and ministry-wise, absolutely. But they were talking about what they've received in life and the blessings of abundant life that they're walking in, and almost made it sound like it was unattainable and that person got that because of their anointing and their calling. We're God's children. We're all entitled to abundant life. We're all entitled to blessings. We're all entitled to heaven on earth. And I had to renew that person's mind to say, no, that's attainable for you as well. Yeah, you might never have the ministry that person has. Yeah, you might never have the influence that person has. But as far as what you're talking about and receiving from God, it's available to you. If you want it, it's come and get it. Amen. It's come and get it. And so, but this is what you need to know. Is that by grace you were saved, for sure. Now, you did have to do something. You had to give your faith there. By grace are you saved. But once you're saved, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about works. Now, let me qualify that because people say, what do you mean it's all about works? If you don't do the right thing, you don't get the right thing. This is the truth. Once you're born again, what does the Bible say? Faith without works is dead. Once you're saved, it's all about what you do and don't do. Now, when you do and what you don't do, that gives God the ability to move with His grace on your situation. But think about this. Jesus told us right off the bat that we need to do something. He said in Matthew chapter 7, "For they that hear the word are like they that built their house on the rock. The winds came, the rains came, the floods came, beat against the house, and it stood. But those that heard the word and didn't do it, didn't do something." Said they're like the ones that built the house on the sand, and the rains came, the floods came, beat against the house, but it fell, and great was the fall of it. What's he saying? It's up to you what you do or don't do. And so what I'm going to share with you tonight, yes, can bring great increase, can bring great change, great revelation, great acceleration in the plan of God, but it's something you have to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's get into it here tonight. And let's find out what these three simple steps the Lord has for us. I've shared this before, but the Holy Ghost says do it again, so let's do it again. Hallelujah. Are you ready for number one? We're going to dive right in. You want to have abundant life? You want to have victory? You want to have success every day and live daily? Every single day. Yes, I said every single day. Spend time in His Word. That doesn't seem very earth-shattering, but it's life-changing. Amen. Say, Pastor, you're going to talk about reading the Bible? Well, not just reading the Bible. Go with me to Matthew chapter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and let's go to verse 4. Oh, I've heard this before. Why aren't you doing it then? Those that have that thought, why aren't you doing it then? Because I know for a fact it's not being done every day by every single person in this place. So how can you say that, Pastor Mike? Well, number one, people are people. But number two, I got the witness of the Holy Ghost. That he wouldn't have us preach this if we're all nailing it out of the park. Right. Amen. Amen. He wouldn't have us preach this if we're all nailing it out of the park. Well, I've heard this before. I can't have to sit through this again. No, no, no. You are mature and you are right when you're doing the word. When you're the one that's being confirmed for, then you can say, until then, we got something to learn. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. Now, that word live there is not talking about a heartbeat. Because it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but, saying they shall live, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he's not talking about a heartbeat, because there are plenty of people that have a heartbeat that are not in the Word of God and are living. What a natural heartbeat, pulse, right? They're alive. So he's not talking about just being alive. You have to understand what that word live means. That word live is the word zoe, or zoe, yeah, zoe in the Greek. The God kind of life. Remember Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, behold, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life. What kind of life? Zoe, the Greek word zoe. The abundant life, the God kind of life, the divine life, the heaven on earth life, the overcoming life, the blessed life. And Jesus said, you cannot obtain that by bread alone, but it is attainable through the Word of God. But just like he mentioned natural food, he's likening the Word of God to natural food, that it must be consumed, that it must be fed upon, right? Amen. Hallelujah. In James, it says to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. Receive it how? Feed on that thing. Feed on that thing. Praise God. Real quick, go with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Every day, feed on the Word. Every day, feed on the Word. Remember Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit? That's what he said. The words I speak to you, they're spirit. Well, what is that likened to? Just like natural food helps your natural body, right? What happens if you take away natural food for any amount of time? You grow weak. You grow feeble. You grow tired. Well, what happens when the Christian tries to live without their spiritual food? And the battle, ladies and gentlemen, is not fought or won in the natural realm. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What's flesh and blood? The natural. We don't wrestle against the natural. The devil's not a natural being. He's a spiritual being. We've been given spiritual weapons. Well, one of the spiritual weapons we've been given is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. What's that like in that realm? I mean, in a natural, you go into a natural, you go into a fight, right? I always like to think about, remember Mike Tyson? In his heyday, he was a monster. Oh, man, he was scary. I mean, I was just scared watching him. I was just scared watching him. Imagine getting in that ring against him, you know? But Mike Tyson didn't go in there looking all feeble and malnourished. Why? He'd been training. He'd been eating right. Why? Because he knew someone across from him is going to try to knock him out. Mike Tyson said, everybody comes into the ring with a plan. And that plan changes when they get punched in the face. Everything changes when you get punched in the face. Oh, you have a plan. It's all different now. That's what he said. It's funny. But imagine stepping into a ring against a strong opponent who's skilled at what they do. Malnourished, weak and feeble. Christians do it every single day. The devil's out there. He's casting thoughts on them. He's temptations and circumstances, and they're being overcome. And they're stepping into doubt and unbelief, and they're stepping into worry. Why? They're weak spiritually. Why? They're malnourished. Jesus told us, just like you eat bread, just like you eat food for the natural body, which I'm guessing most of us don't go many days in a row without it. Right? Because you start to feel the effects. Well, Christians, they don't even realize the effects they're feeling on it. Look what Joshua 1:8 says about the Word. Spend time in the Word every single day. Pretty simple, but so profound, most people don't do it. Got quiet when I said that. This book of the law, talking about the Word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now look at this. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Yeah, I'm going to say that because it needs to be said by the Holy Ghost. There's people that this would change their life and they're sitting at home right now. Oh yeah. Faces came up in my heart that this right here would change their life. And they won't make the commitment and they won't make the effort. Now if there's something special for the kids, they'll be at that. Oh yeah. If there's something going on at the school, they'll make time to be at that. If there's an appointment for them, they'll make time to be at that. And yet they'll go on and they'll go on and they'll go on in the same thing. It's important not to miss your visitation. This was meant for so many more people. He said, you should observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then, not before then. See, if you want the then, before the then, you're out of order. Because we want what's the then. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. We all want to sign up for the prosperity and the good success. But it can't happen till then. You have to be before then, which is what? The book of the law, the word of God. Why? Because Jesus said you can live abundant life. What's abundant life? Prosperity and good success. Amen. Joshua said how to get it. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all the according as written therein. Notice what it says to do about the word. It tells us to do three things with the word. You want to see what it says? It says, number one, book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. You ought to speak the word. You'd be speaking the word. Part out of your mouth. Meditate there and day and night. To meditate means to ponder, to study, to mutter it, to go over it. you know, let me help you. Because people see the Bible and they say, okay, study the Word, and they pick it up. It's like, where in the world do I start? Old Testament, the Gospels, do I start in the Epistle? Where, Revelation, do I just say in Psalms and Proverbs? Where do I go? Well, let me help you. The best place you can start with studying the Bible is not the book of Genesis. It's not the book of Matthew. Listen, God gave you a pastor who shares over 100, well, let's see, it would be, yeah, over 100 sermons to just this church a year. Every week, you're getting direction and guideline of what you can be feeding on. I'm sharing something tonight. You could take this Thursday, you could take this Friday, and you could take this Saturday, and you could meditate on it. And you could study it, and you could go over the scriptures in your heart. But what do most people do? Just leave it right here and never encounter it again. What's wrong with me? I'm not being very nice tonight. These things are just coming out of my mouth. I need to behave. I'm just telling you the truth. It's the absolute truth, you know. You say, I don't know where to go. What do you mean you don't know where to go? I spent my whole week praying and getting on my face to find out where to tell you to go. You have direction of what to do. Can you imagine if you did that with every single message, how far you long you'd be in a year? You'd have more of that, prosperity and good success. I'm telling you that much. Why? The Word's true. Amen. So he says to speak it, to study it, or to meditate in, which is studying, pondering it. And he says that you may as observe to do. Speak it, study it, and do it. That's your job with the Word. Speak it, study it, and do it. Now, I can't ever get past this verse without mentioning this, because one of the things that I enjoy so much about being able to preach the Word is attacking religion. You know, not calling anybody out by name or any specific church or any specific denomination. That's not what I mean. I mean religion as a whole. What's religion? Anything that is not biblical. You know, they go through the motions, but they're not. It's not Bible. A lot of us came from those places. I did anyways. Hallelujah. I know she did, and many of you have told me you did as well. But the religious idea that has people sitting on their hands is that if it's going to happen, it's going to happen, and God's going to do it if God's going to do it. But the interesting thing about the prosperity and the good success up there is I've searched. I've looked and looked. Now, maybe you can find it, but I can't find it. I've looked for God in that verse, and I have not found him. In fact, I found that the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That's you mentioned one time. But you, talking about you again, shall meditate there, and that's twice, day and night. That you, that's three times, may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you, that's four times you're mentioned, shall make your way, that's five times you're mentioned, prosperous. And then you shall have good success. Six times you're mentioned, God's mentioned zero. God's mentioned zero. I want prosperity. I want good success. There's your formula. Just changed your whole life. That verse just changed your whole future. But you got to walk out of here and do it. Amen. You got to walk out of here and do it. Hallelujah. Spend time in the Word every day. Earth shattering, I know, but life changing. Are you ready for number two? Go to Luke 18 and verse 1. I'll tell you number two after I read this verse. Oh, this is so basic. I know. I know it is. But it'll change your life. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. And what's the result? Not to faint. Not to quit. Not to give up. Not to be overtaken. Number two, and we're going to emphasize it this way, pray every day in unknown tongues. Pray every day in unknown tongues. Now you say, why are you mentioning unknown tongues? Because Paul mentioned a lot about unknown tongues. And I want to mention a little bit about unknown tongues. Pray every single day. Jesus said to pray always. Remember Mark 16, he said, they'll speak with new tongues. Tongues can take you to a level and a deeper place with God than your natural language can. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. I want to point this out. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Now, I know I've said it this way before, but I'm going to say it just a little different way here. But the writer of this book is the Apostle Paul, who hands down, I don't think there's a contender even in the same category and class of what this man did for God and for the body of Christ. I mean, he's the author of half to two-thirds of the New Testament. No one else can claim that. Amen? Amen? He was schooled. I mean, Jesus appeared to him in his conversion. He was so important. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus and set him apart for his calling. He was a mighty man. We're living and receiving off of what his revelations were years ago. There'll never be another like the Apostle Paul. Amen? And a man with that success and that victory, look what he said. He said, that's why I just told you all about him. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. He was boasting, not in a prideful way, but in a magnify tongues sort of way. Because he wasn't arrogant or prideful. He's putting the spotlight on the fact that I pray in tongues all the time. Notice what he didn't say, and this is what I wanted to say. It's a little different than I've ever said it. I thank my God I pray in the natural more than you all. No. He wasn't praying in the natural, which is English, more than he was praying in tongues. Why? You shouldn't be praying more in the natural than praying in tongues. You are not natural. Now, do we pray in the natural? Absolutely, with our English and with our known language and with our intellect. Absolutely, we do. But the natural is not going to live forever. The spiritual is. And what a lot of people... Well, I'll say it this way. I remember Brother Hagin told the story of when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember a little bit that happened for me as well, but I wasn't in a place of influence when I got filled with the Holy Ghost like he was. He was already pastoring a church. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit, but didn't tell his congregation, because I believe they were Baptists. And if you're know the Baptist denomination, they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Amen. I mean, they are against speaking in tongues. I mean, some of certain denominations, they're against it, you know, part of the Baptist church. And so he didn't want to tell anybody, because he didn't want to get kicked out of his church. But the people started noticing something. Hey, your sermons are a little different. Hey, there seems to be more power in your life. And he's like, well, first they said, we noticed something different about you. He said, well, is it good or bad? He said, it's good. Well, he wouldn't tell him. Well, finally, after a while, they said, we got to know what's the secret sauce here. What is it? He said, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Well, they didn't kick him out. They all wanted it. They all wanted it. If you're not living a life filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues, you don't know what you're missing. And I'm just going to say this as bold and as blunt as I can. It's not okay that you don't speak in tongues. Pastor, this is my Christianity. I can do what I want to do. Well, Jesus commanded in Acts chapter 1, do not leave Jerusalem until you get this. And most people just, well, I'm uncomfortable with it and it doesn't make sense to me. And they just blow off what Jesus says. It's not okay. It's not okay. Pastor, I told you I'm not behaving up here tonight. Of being bad. Paul, I thank my God I do it more than y'all. Well, he wasn't doing it to waste time. There must be something to it. Well, go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. wait till I say that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, I'm sorry. What in the world? Where am I? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. I know it's in there. I'm all confusing myself. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. He that speaketh. Well, just like you get in the Word, prosperity and good success, you got to do something. When Pastor Mike there in the beginning said, hey, it's all about works, I guess he wasn't making it up. Because I already showed you want prosperity and good success, you have to do something. You have a work to do. Oh, it's just by grace. No. You don't get the grace until you do the Word. Then the grace comes. Amen? Oh, it's just about the grace of God. That there's such an excess of grace teaching in the body of Christ nowadays that the devil's hopped right on And so much so that there are churches in America that say you don't even have to ask for forgiveness of sins anymore. That the grace covered it all already. And they say that 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, if you confess your sins, you're faithful and just. That's not talking to the Christian. That we don't have to confess our sins. That everything's already under the blood. You know what that tells people to do? Live however you want to. That's the thought the devil wants people to have, is live however you want to. Why? Because the devil knows the wages of sin is death. Everything's not just covered under the blood. It's covered under the blood. Once you repent for it, then it gets wiped off your... But you've got to confess and repent for those things. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. And it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. And people will say, well, that's saying do away with tongues. No. If I came in here tonight and started speaking in tongues, I would edify myself, but you wouldn't get anything out of it. It would just be a bunch of, you know, gibberish to you, and you wouldn't receive unless the gift of tongues interpretation was in operation. It wouldn't mean anything to you. And he says that he that does this will edify himself. Charge, to edify means to charge or build up. You know why you're so touchy? It's amazing what I get to see from up here. Some days I'll see people come in with a smile and worshiping God. And other days I'll see them come in like this. I'm just telling you what I see. How you doing? Oh, great, Pastor Mike. And then you dig a little bit and you find out they got a little financial blessing or something. And everything's great. But as soon as it hits the fan, Eeyore spirit sets in. It's the truth. But I'm going to ask you a question. When have you ever seen me down? When have you ever seen me not preach in faith and excited and happy to see you? Never. Never. What am I living? Constantly built up. Do I have bad days? Sure. Do I have pressure that comes against me? Sure. But why do we get touchy? Why do we get, you know, walk on eggshells? People have to walk on eggshells around us. Why does our love walk suffer? Why do we get down in the dumps and stuff? We're not built up. We're not charged up. We're running on low. I was so bummed the other day. I was cutting a trail in the woods with a chainsaw, you know, and thought, man, I got enough fuel. And all of a sudden, the thing started, putting on me and didn't. I thought, what's going on? No fuel in that thing. Here that thing has the power to slice through trees when it's full. The blade didn't change, the chainsaw didn't change, but there was no fuel to power that thing. And that's the way Christians run. They run on empty. And the Bible says if you'll pray in tongues, you'll be edified. I dare you to try this before you go to that job you hate. I'm serious. Wake up a half hour early and pray in tongues. Watch the difference it will make for you. When you have to be around that person that pushes your buttons and you fly off the handle, I dare you to pray in tongues for a half an hour before you go. It'd be like you stopping at the gas station to fill up to be able to go a little farther. Amen. It's true. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. Praise God is right. Amen. Go with me to Jude 20. Pray in tongues every day. Jude 20. This is easy. I know. Do it. Start doing it. If you'll just be stupid enough to believe me, you'd see your life change. If you did this stuff every single day, you'd see changes in your life. You would see changes in your life. Why? The word works. You know why it doesn't work for some people? Because they don't work the word. You got to work the word. Amen. Jude 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves. Nobody's going to do it for you. It's not my job to build you up. It's not your spouse's job to build you up. It's not so-and-so. It's your own job to build yourself up. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? Well, Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. You want to be built up? You want to be charged up? You want life to be a little different, a little less depressed, a little less angry, a little less fearful? You know why people are afraid? They're not built up. When you're built up and filled with God, you're not afraid. You're not depressed. You're not worried. You're not anxious. You're not stressed out. You're not a person that has to walk on eggshells around. You're full of God. It's true. Amen. Brother Hagin said this. The greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs, and the greatest deliverances I ever had and saw came after I spent much time praying in other tongues. It's the doorway to the supernatural. That's why it's not okay if you're not filled. That's why it's not okay if you're filled and say, well, I prayed one time, but that was a little bit weird. It's not okay. You say, well, who are you to tell me? Well, I should say this. It's okay if you want to live powerless, unedified. That's fine. You can do that. But to me, as people I love, it's not okay. I love Caleb and Abby, and there's certain things I don't let them do because I don't want them to be harmed. I say, that's not okay. That's not okay. You better, you got to change that. Why? You're not going to like what's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember one time he was younger. You know, I don't know if he remembers this or not. And you know, they start being know-it-alls young. He was taking the corner on his bike real tight in the driveway. And I kept watching it. I said, buddy, if you don't be careful taking that corner, going on that corner as fast, you're going to end up on your face. I got this, Dad. I'm good. I'm good. Well, you know what happened. Now, I said, that's not okay. It's not okay, buddy. Why? I don't want you to fall on your face. Yeah. Get over yourself and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know why people won't raise their hands in church and worship God even though the Word? Because you're not over yourself. You're too consumed with your own self. If you're consumed with Him, you just praise Him. It's the truth. Get over yourself. So you need to be delivered from yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. What a meanie. What a meanie. Number one, spend time in the Word every day. Pray in tongues every day. Number three, are you ready? Spend time praising God every day. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. He's good, isn't he? Acts chapter 16. And let's go to verse 25. We're fast-forwarding through this story. We find Paul and Silas in prison. Earlier in the chapter, they cast a devil out of a young girl who's being used by people to make money through fortune-telling. Well, that should tell you something about fortune-telling if a devil was cast out of the fortune-teller. It's just a false version of the power that the devil wants to imitate to get people's eyes off of God. That's all it is. So what that across from the table from you, they can tell you what color gym shoes your grandma had when she was 10 years old. Oh my gosh, she did have pink. Oh, who cares? Who cares? Why do you need to go to a fortune teller? You have the fortune teller living on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost said, I will show you things to come. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So he cast the devil out of that. Said, hey, that ain't God. Acts 16:25. People are just craving some supernatural power, though. Why? Because the natural's a letdown. The natural realm is a letdown, and people are craving something more. And because they don't have people telling them about it, they don't have people witnessing. Don't get me started now. We ought to have more people at this church. Well, I'm already being mean. I might as well just keep being mean. If you'd open your mouths and start telling people about this church, we'd have more people at this church. I was in line at the DMV the other day. I mean, that's a place you better go edified. I'm telling you, I walked in. There was literally, this is no joke. I walk in, there's 21 people in line ahead of me. And I started having fun watching the people's reactions when they came through the door and saw the line. I said, oh, this is, give me some popcorn. Watching these people, they're mad, they're mad. And I'm standing there in line, and I'm sitting there waiting, and I'm waiting forever. I mean, I was there for hours. That's no joke, because you get up there, and then they say, you ain't got the right stuff. Go back and fill it out. Well, can I get back in line? No, no, you gotta get the end. I was there one time. This is a true story. I was there not too long ago, registering. It was the four-wheeler. And the guy that waited on me, it was hilarious. He had a dry sense of humor. I loved it, you know. Well, after I had waited I waited over an hour in line just to get up there. I said, man, I had you last time I was here. I said, man, I really appreciate your humor. And he goes, and he knew what I had to do. He goes, well, unfortunately, the humor stops here. You got to fill out this paperwork and get back in line. That's what he said to me, which when you come to think about it, it's really kind of funny. He said that, you know. I said, you mean I can't fill it out here? He goes, nope, not with a line like that. Sorry. He didn't care. And I'm in the DMV. And there's a lady there. And we're standing there waiting. This has been my third round in line. I guess I didn't do my homework, but my third round of line. And there's a lady waiting there with me. And then all of a sudden we're waiting there. And there's a girl that's just been sitting off to the side. And they call her up front. And oh, man, the woman in front of me was not happy. How did she get to do that? And she starts ranting and raving. She's looking at me for an answer. I said, I don't know, but whatever happened to her, I hope it happens to me. I'll take whatever she's got. That's what I said to her. I said, I don't know what happened. And so we're sitting there, and she starts talking. I was like, okay, we're getting the conversation here. And she's there, had plates or something. She had just gotten a car wreck. And I noticed that her right arm was like in a cast. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, nudging me. Because she told me about her 9-year-old daughter that had now back problems from this accident. It was a terrible accident. Her car, I mean, lucky to be alive. And now financially, she's like, I'm not getting paid. I'm out of work. And I said to her, now remember, she don't know I'm a pastor. She don't want to be from anybody. I'm just someone that is willing to be inconvenienced, willing to open my mouth. I said, you know, at my church, I didn't tell I was a pastor yet. I said, at my church, people are getting healed left and right. I said, we've had so many financial testimonies. God wants blessing for you. She's like, he does? I'm like, oh, yeah. And then I pulled my phone up. I said, just so you know, I'm not some wacko at the DMV. You mean you see some wackos at the DMV. I said, just so you know, I'm not some wacko at the DMV. I pull up and said, there's my face right there on the line. I'm a pastor of a church. I said, you ought to come out to my church. You know, she doesn't live too far from here. And so I'm like, and I kept ministering to her before she got called. God wants better for you. You know, you could do the same thing. You're at work and someone's sick. You know, people down at my church are getting healed of that. You're going through financial problems. Oh, we had people left and right at my church getting... But we don't tell anybody. We need to start telling people. Sheep beget sheep. Sheep are the ones that cause the increase. Word of mouth is going to be better than any social media campaign, anything else. We need to be telling people. Change can happen. Because you're all here tonight on a Wednesday night. We're running out of summer, and you're here on a Wednesday night because you know something happens between these walls. I encounter something here. We need to be telling people that. Y'all have friends. Y'all have Facebook. Y'all have different things. You should be telling people about this place. Amen. It's true. And Jesus told you to go out and share it and to spread it. Amen. We got to stop being selfish with it. Anyways, you got me all followed. Again, this is your fault. I blame you. Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. We already talked about you ought to pray. What was he doing praying? He's edifying himself. You got to be edified when you're naked, beaten in prison for doing nothing wrong. And sang praises to God. You see, you can't leave the praising out. Prayed and sang praises. Y'all remember that woman in the missionary in the early 1900s? I've told you that story. Remember the missionary in the early 1900s came down with smallpox? Of course, that's before they have any vaccinations. And it's not looking good for her. And Brother Hagin told this story, and it's not looking good for her. And, you know, they got her isolated, quarantined, you know, off by herself and for 2 days. And she's praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Well, if you read the rest of the story here, the Bible says they were delivered. It says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. They were delivered. But the delivery didn't happen until after the praying and the praising. Oh, I guess Paul had to do something. I guess that works business isn't out of line. And she's praying because she's in a bad spot. I mean, she's facing death. And she had a vision, and she had a vision of those old-time scales. They have the weight on each side. And one of the side was weighed down, and the other one was in the air because, you know, got weight here, it's up here on this side. And The one that was weighed down, the weights said prayers. And the one that was up here with no weight said praise. And the Holy Ghost said to her, when you're praising equals you're praying, you'll get healed. Amen. For the next 2 days, and the nurses testified and people that were in the hospital testified, they heard her do nothing but praise. Nothing but praise God. Nothing but worship God. Nothing but praise Him. And she was supernaturally cured. Praise is a vehicle that brings God's presence to the scene. We've talked about that before. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Romans 4 and verse 20. We get a picture of what Abraham was doing in the midst of the faith battle that he was in. What battle was that? You're going to have a baby, but the problem is you keep getting older and years keep going past. And Sarah's womb is dead now and she's not getting any younger. And Romans 4 and verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. How many of you know there'd be a lot of opportunities to wade through some unbelief during that time? Thank you, Lord. I receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just got a personal nugget for myself. I'll take it. Praise God. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Jenny, would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith. So what happened? He grew strong and became empowered as he did something. As he gave praise and glory to God. The best way I can put it, why you'd be empowered in praise, when you praise, your attention is fixed on your help. When you praise, your attention is fixed on the one that's bigger than the issue causing you to worry. Praise holds your attention on your answer. When the world was saying you can't have a baby, when his wife's body was saying you can't have a baby, when his own body was saying you can't have a baby, when the medical field and science and biology was saying you can't have a baby, Abraham wasn't fixed on those things. He was fixed on the one that doesn't give a rip about biology, that doesn't give a rip about health and what the body says. Amen. And it'll be the same for you, praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me real quick to Isaiah 61. I want to share this. I've shared this story before, but like I said, I just, when the Holy Ghost says to do something, I just need to do it. I just need to do it. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn to Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, the garment of praise for the something, the spirit of heaviness. What's the spirit of heaviness? Depression. Oppression. Right? Holding you down. Feeling like you can't get out of it. There's your recipe to get out of it. The garment. It's a garment. You got to put it on. It's a garment. Let me tell you something. When you're oppressed and depressed, you don't feel like doing anything. How do I know? I've been there. So much so that I had a loaded 357 Magnum tickling the back of my throat. That's the truth. One finger twitch away from it being over if God didn't step in and save the day. So depressed and so dark, you don't feel like showering. You don't want to eat. You don't want to get out of a dark room. I'm telling you, I've been there. You don't feel like doing anything. But this is your answer and recipe to those that are oppressed, to those that are depressed. This is your answer. And it's a garment. Just like I remember one of the most annoying things about having little kids when they can't do anything was when they can't do anything for themselves and you in the wintertime around here. And you have to put all their stuff on. It's so nice now, Caleb, just get your coat on, you know? But when they're little, you got to bundle them all up. You don't feel like doing that, but it's the right thing to do, so you do it. You put it on. And I told the story, and it's worth repeating because it's so powerful. And it just brings home this point. Most of you know the story. Some of you don't. And That's a good lesson for those of us that are here all the time. You got to be enjoying your pastor's stories, because they're helping these stories, the same help that you got, even if you've heard it a million times. There's newer people all the time. Yeah. Amen. And if you'll be open, the word will help you as well. But we were over in the old sanctuary after service one day, and I had preached on praise. And I went long, shocker. I went long, and I kind of, you know, during the salvation call, it was prompted on my heart. This verse came up on my heart, Isaiah 61:3. And I was, what's that doing there? And I knew I was supposed to share that verse and give my testimony with it. Well, I was arguing with God as I'm giving the salvation call. I'm arguing with God saying, Lord, this is late. I've already went way later than I normally do it. I can't do this again. But, you know, I've learned something. If I don't obey God, I won't sleep. I won't feel right if I don't obey Him. So I gave people the option. I said, you know, I gotta obey God. I had them pull up there. I said, if you need to leave, go ahead. Nobody did. And I shared this verse, Isaiah 61:3, about the garment of praise. And I gave my testimony. I said, I wish I would have known that there was a weapon against what they say is incurable. I wish I would have known that there was a power that could have sliced through that darkness that just was on me all the time. I didn't know it. And so I told that story. Now, I didn't know why I was telling the story at first. Because I just preached on praise, but I didn't mention it in the service. And the Spirit said, you need to mention it. Well, after the service, there's a group of ladies over one of the aisles, and one of the women is crying, bawling her eyes out. And he said, Pastor, come over here. So I went over there and said, what's going on? She said, well, she's got to tell you something. Everybody left, and she said, Pastor Mike, she said, I had made up my mind, and I was dead set. When I walked out of the service today, I was going to go hang myself. She said, but now I have help. She said, I've tried doctors. I've tried medication. I've tried counseling. She said, now I see that God cares. He had you after a service, after a long service, say this just for me. And it was her help. And she's alive today. Praise God. Hallelujah. It was her answer, and I wish I'd have known. It's your answer, ladies and gentlemen. And in closing, let me just say this about all these things I just mentioned. Just like the garment of praise, you will not feel like getting in the Word. You will not feel like praying, and you will not feel like praising all the time. Because all three of those disciplines are spiritual disciplines. And the Bible says that your flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, is warring with your spirit. I mean, I'll be wide awake and not hungry. And I'll set myself to praying, and I'll become starving and tired all of a sudden. I mean, just all of a sudden, I'm starving and tired. Thoughts are going through my head. Why is it that you can sit there almost numb and watch a two-hour movie? It's because why? What's it doing? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's appeasing your flesh, and your flesh is quiet and doesn't kick up a storm. Fast for one day and see how much your flesh likes it. But when you're stuffing your face, your flesh isn't yelling at you. But man, you miss one meal and your flesh is cranky. Right? So when you try to do something spiritual or go down the road to do something spiritual, all hell's going to break loose in your flesh. But the mark of a spiritual person is the person that does what they don't feel like doing. Amen? I don't feel like putting my kids' coats on, but man, if I don't, there's going to be a price to pay. Amen. And I'll just close with this story. I was dealing with my cousin years ago. And this is the way we need to look at this stuff, because what depends on it? Well, prosperity and good success depends on the Word. Abundant life, truly living, depends on if you're going to be in the Word. That's important. Whether you're edified, built up, charged up, and we could have even gone into more about praying in tongues, about praying out mysteries, praying out the will of God. The refreshing, Isaiah talked about, all these things. That depends on it. Well, what depends on praise? We've seen it. Deliverance. Empowered faith. Growing strong. Hallelujah. A lot depends on if you don't do this. And the people that do that look different. They sound different. They talk different. They carry themselves different. Why? They're built up, charged up, full of God. And my cousin at one time was going through a tough time in her life, and about wanting to quit, you know, and just at her wit's end, you know. And I said, Bear. That's her nickname, Bear. I said, Bear. I said, let me guess. You're not praying? you're not in the Word, and you're not praising. She says, I'm not doing any of it. I said, I know. I can tell. I can tell. We can tell when you don't too. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. People start getting offended. People start getting mad. People start getting cranky. People start getting short with their spouse. People start getting selfish. People start trying to push their desires. People start my way. You're just carnal. I thought it was going to be nice at some point, but I guess not. It's going to stay mean, I guess. And so she said, I'm not doing it. I said, well, and this came to me. I didn't know it. I'm not smart enough to put together something like this. He brought up my aunt, Bear's mom, my aunt Rhonda, who's on dialysis. And she has to, with dialysis, you know, you have to take time, certain times of the day, to plug into that machine and to get those treatments. Doesn't matter if you want to take a nap. If it's dialysis, you better do it. Doesn't matter if you're out at the store. Doesn't matter if you're at a public place. If it's time and you need those treatments, however it works, you got to go plug in. It's very inconvenient. But it saves her life. And many times, if not all the time, she doesn't feel like doing that. And the Holy Ghost told me, just like your mom has to do this stuff that she doesn't want to do, but if she doesn't, great suffering, great fallout will come from it. The same way if you deny praying, you deny time in the Word, you deny time praising God, there'll be great fallout and great suffering. And here's the evidence of it. I'm looking right at it. It's telling her. And it hit her. And see, when you start to realize, okay, my abundant life depends on this. My prosperity, my good success depends on this. Just like when you take your kids out in the snow, my kids' health depends on this. It's annoying putting their coats on, their gloves and their hats on and getting them all ready to go. But there's a lot that depends on it if I don't do it. When you start to realize that, you say, flesh, shut up. It's time to pray. Flesh, shut up. It's time to meditate in the Word. I know I'm down in the dumps, but I'm going to just lift my voice and praise my way out of this thing. Amen? Amen? Well, it was simple, but it's going to be a blessing to us. Amen? Be a doer of the Word. There are certain people that will walk out of here and just be dumb enough to do this. And I remember one person sat me down, it was months ago, and he said, Pastor, I actually started doing what you're saying, and this was the result. I said, that would have been a result the whole time. It will work for you if you'll do this. If you'll say, okay, spiritual disciplines, my pastor gave me some. I'm going to do the Word. Jesus said, if I do the Word, I'll be blessed. Just, I dare you to try them out. I dare you. Amen? Father, we love you tonight. We're just so grateful. Let's praise Him together. Just worship Him. We love you, Jesus. We honor you and bless you. We've received our help tonight. Yeah, we received our help. We received our help. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful that things are simple because then I can do them. Lord, I don't do very good with the hard things, the difficult things. These simple things, I can get in my Word. That's easy. I can pray. That's easy. I can praise you. That's easy. I can do it. I can do it. I'm a candidate for prosperity and good success. I'm a candidate for abundant life. Why? Because I'm going to do these things. Praise God. The doer is the qualified one to receive these things. So, Father, we just pray for everybody, Lord, that they get a revelation of this. And they'd start going forward different. Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Some of you, yes, I said some of you, because that's what the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, in this very room tonight, have become okay with the mundane, have become okay with average, have become okay with just getting by. But there's a promised land waiting for you that's beyond the mundane, beyond the average, and beyond the just getting by. That yes, it will take some pressing into. It will take some doing. It will take some discipline of the flesh. But my, oh my, the rewards. Oh, the rewards, the rewards. The increase. Yes, yes, and even some of you that have gotten direction before and have not done with that direction, oh, the missing out. But there's hope. We can change today. And we can go forward and do the word today, and we can walk into the increase and walk into the greatness. Oh, Father, I pray that they would get a revelation of that. Sometimes when you're a pastor by the Holy Ghost, you see things that you don't like. Yeah. Yeah, I was ministering one time to a couple in the old storefront. And the Lord showed me a vision of their children. I saw two ways this was going to go. Their kids were on a train. Yeah. I'm out just minding my own business. Also, I see their kids on a train. And the train wide off went into two different directions. One direction looked like a Tim Burton movie, real dark, and everything was dead and dried up and darkness. And one of their children looked back at me in the vision and had a look of despair and grief and sorrow and torment on their face. The other two kids, I just saw the back of their head. And then I saw the other Y, and it was full of these vibrant, beautiful colors. And you could just sense there was joy. And the same person looked back at me with a look of absolute joy on their face. And I told the parents, I said, this is what awaits you if you don't get your act together. Well, they didn't. And that came to pass with that specific individual. Things that I wouldn't even feel right mentioning in a church service. You say, why do you say that? Well, Holy Ghost just showed me in a snapshot some of your futures in here. And I didn't see you on a train or anything, but I saw one of two ways things are going to go. You're either going to go God's way and you're going to press in and you're going to say, enough's enough. I'm done playing around with the things of God. I'm done playing around in the lukewarm waters. And you're going to get on fire and you're going to do the word and you're going to walk into things that you never imagine for yourself. And in fact, some of the things you're facing right now, some of the things, now this is all speaking by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, so I don't want to say this stuff. Some of the things you're experiencing right now, this instant, is because you won't listen. Because you won't listen. You do things your way, but there's a better for you. And your life's going to go one or two ways. It's going to depend on you. It's not going to depend on God. God offers it for you. You say, well, are you talking about me? Well, this really would apply to all of us. But the Lord showed me specific people, but it would apply to all of us. Be doers of this. There's great increase on the other side of doing this. Thank you, Father, for the moving of the Holy Ghost. You know, we like when the Holy Ghost prophesies things about prosperity and increase. Well, sometimes correction and sobering things come with the Holy Ghost. In fact, I'm leery of people that always are prophesying. It's always nothing but positives. And there's never any correction because that's not how God does things. He corrects at times. Amen. So be a doer. Be a doer. Chart a different course tonight. Father, we thank you and praise you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as I look around the room, I'm pretty sure everyone has here, but you know, in case you haven't, but there might be people listening online or listening in the future, with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior and you want to receive Jesus and know that you're going to heaven and you've never raised your hand before, would you lift your hand high in the air? Anybody that's never done that? I didn't think so. But Father, if by chance there's someone listening online that's not saved, someone listening online right now that, or in the future that they're not born again, I pray they would not pass from this life till they're saved. And if you're listening, you say, that's me, what do I need to do? The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, John 3:16, you won't perish but have everlasting life. Just simply pray a prayer like this to him. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. And I ask you, because you have to ask him, because he's knocking on the door of your heart. You got to invite him in. He's not the SWAT team. He's not an intruder. He wants an invite. Say, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he will. He'll save you. God will become a father to you. Shoot me an email. Give me a phone call. Let me know and we'll get you started in your best life ever. Let's all stand to our feet and praise him tonight. I know that's a sobering end, but the Holy Ghost needed to deliver that. Because futures depend on it, praise God. Oh, we praise you, Father. Yeah, and there could be speeding up. It can be sped up. There could be catching up. Yep, God's supernatural. It ain't over. Devil tell you it's over. No, if it was over, God would have rebuked and God wouldn't have corrected. If there was no hope, there'd be no, just, what's the point? No? He's saying, change, change, change. We worship you, Father. We praise you for what we've received here tonight. Bless each person as they go. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. We'll see you Sunday at 10. You're dismissed.
Salt and light.